So for several weeks now, I've been looking for opportunities to hear God on what he wanted to say. And I spent most of the day yesterday on this. John got called away to help a family member, and I started about 9 o'clock yesterday morning. And before we go any further, Todd, can we kill some of these lights up here? It is so hot. I still need enough to see by, but anything else? Yeah. Can we kill the blue, the red, and the green? Okay, thank you. Oh, and now I can't see. No. But I spent most of the day yesterday working on this. And it just didn't really want to seem to come together. And so about 6:30 last night, I scrapped everything I had and started over. And then I did that again about 10 o'clock. And so I'm just trusting the Holy Ghost to get what you need today. So if you've been coming consistently the last few months, or if you're a visitor today, if you've been coming, you realize that pastor's sermons, we've been heading in a specific direction. And my hope today is to continue the same path so I don't veer us off of where we're headed. For some of us, you know, this may seem like very unfamiliar territory. And for some of us, it might seem like that we're returning from whence we once came. And so it's going to be an interesting journey ahead. But in either case, whether this is all brand new to you or things you're familiar with, we have a decision to make. Are we, each one of us, invested in this body? And are we willing to make this journey? And now, I will tell you that you can hold on to your wallets. I'm not getting ready to ask for a donation for a new building or anything. But that investment is in time and people and in hearing what God would have for you as part of this body. Today I want to talk about supply and increase. A few weeks ago, as I started preparing for this, I began to just go back and listen to some old sermons. And I went back to an old sermon from 1997 that has just tremendously blessed me. And I have drawn a few things from that, but I have listened to it over and over and over, and there's some wonderful, wonderful things there for the body. The two scriptures I have narrowed this down to today are Ephesians 4:1 and Ephesians 4:16. And in Ephesians 4:1, do we have that, Todd? I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And when we hear that word vocation, what does that make you think of? I automatically think about training, like vocational school, like something that you would do to train for a specific job or a specific career. And this is the only place in the Bible that the word vocation is used, which I think is interesting. So let's go back and read that scripture again. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Now, he's not saying walk worthy of your career or your job, although we need to be people of integrity in the things that we do. But it has nothing to do with that. It's not about whether you're a lawyer or a carpenter or a housewife. The original text actually refers to it as a calling, and more specifically, an invitation. God is literally inviting you and I to complete the plan that he has for our life, and he's asking you to do that within the context of a local body of believers where you serve, which is here. And if you're a visitor today, I think you can apply this in your home church. And if you're looking for a church, we would love to have you here as well. But this is more than just a plan for your life. It's a plan for the body. Now, the second scripture I want to take you to is Ephesians 4:16. And we're going to read it first in the King James Version. And I spent a lot of time yesterday digging into the meaning of just about every word in this, because I really enjoy that. But I really wasn't sure you would enjoy it. So I have not brought you all those definitions. But Ephesians 4:16 in the King James says, "From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love." And today we're talking about supply and increase, because God wants us as individuals and as a body to increase. Amen? Yes. Ephesians 4:16. Now I'm going to read to you the Amplified, because I'm a big fan of the Amplified Bible, because it kind of breaks it down for me. In the Amplified it says, "For because of him, the whole body, the church, in all of its various parts, closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and the ligaments with which it is supplied, when each part, with power adapted to its need, is working properly in all of its functions, it grows to full maturity, building itself up in love." Okay? Now, I have Sandra's version. This is my version after I've studied all these words, okay? And it's kind of, I've kind of strung it out here. So what it's saying is, because of Christ, the whole church, now this could be the church universal, or it could be the local church, but today we're talking about Christ's family church, so we're going to read it in light of that. The whole church is fitly joined together. And that word compacted means driven together, so that there is no division. You know, other places in the word, it might refer to that as being in one accord. And over in Acts 4:23, it says, "They lifted up their voice to God in one accord." And you know, I'd never caught this before until this morning when I reread this. It's singular. It wasn't they lifted up their voices. They lifted up their voice, one voice from that group. Sometimes we hear this referred to as a corporate anointing. You know, I don't think that's probably a term you're going to find in the Bible, but I know a lot of us have heard that term. But it's an anointing that happens as a result of a group of people being in unity. And if we're going to go where Pastor thinks we're supposed to go, and where most of us know we need to go, we're going to have to be in unity to get there. So let's go back again to Sandra's version. Because of Christ, the whole church is fitly joined together and driven together, so there's no division, as a result of every joint or member supplying their share of the active operational power that's working in each one of them, which causes increase to happen, both individually and as a body, which helps the body and the individual mature by building it up in love. I'm going to read that one more time. Again, this is just my version. Because of Christ, the whole church is fitly joined together and driven together so that there's no division, as a result of every joint or member supplying their share of the active operational power that's working in each one of them, which causes increase to happen, both individually and as a body, which helps the body and the individual mature by building it up in love. Amen. Now, God has gifted us with natural talents and abilities. You might be able to teach or work with the youth or play an instrument. You might organize events. You might write plays. You might sing, or you might use your office skills to help with the administrative task. All of those things are needed in the natural to make the local church function and flow smoothly. And many times, through trial and error, or just by volunteering when we know there's a need in the church, we figure out how to use our natural talents to benefit the kingdom of God. And if you haven't figured that out yet, what your natural ability is that God has placed in you, that this body is needing, you need to ask God to show it to you. And if you'll make yourself available, he'll use you. Now, he's also placed many spiritual gifts in the body, and more specifically, our body, since that's what we're talking about today. It's the spiritual side of the calling those things that he's placed in us and he wants to develop that often go untapped. When everyone in the body is supplying what God has given them spiritually, it causes increase or growth, both in them personally and in the body. And he's called us to operate in the spiritual realm with supernatural strength and power. Back in verse 16 in the King James there, that word measure, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, you know, that actually means a limited portion or allotment. A limited portion or allotment. So according to the effectual working in the limited portion of your, every part, so you've been given a portion, and each of us has to be willing to share what we've been given with others. And if we have an allotment, what does that mean? That means he didn't give it all to us, and he doesn't expect us to try to have it all or be it all or do it all. We can't. And you know, another thing, God never intended for our pastor to do it all either. So if your idea of Sunday is sliding into a pew to get your fill of God for the week, you've got to know that there's more to it than that. And as part of a local body, you have a part to play, and we need you to supply your part. Pastor can't do it all. He is the shepherd, and there are some specific things that God has called him to do, and I'm sure he leads him on a daily basis. But he can't do all of the praying. He can't do all the praying for the sick. He can't do all the laying on of hands. He can't teach every class. And he can't lead worship. Well, he probably could. He can't lead the worship team, handle the finances, clean the church, and have anything left over to give us on Sunday morning, right, when he preaches. So if you think that's why we pay the pastor, you're wrong. He just can't do it all. We pay the pastor so that he has more time to spend seeking God. God never intended for any of us to walk in every spiritual gift that he's made available. You might see an individual who operates in a couple of spiritual gifts, and probably not all the time, but periodically. And you can bet that if they flow in that gifting, they've spent time with God in prayer developing the spirit man. They've learned to hear God when he speaks, and they've become accustomed to a nudge from the Holy Spirit, and they've learned how to respond to his leading. You know, the Bible talks about five ministry gifts, you know, pastor, prophet, evangelist. And it also talks about nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And some of us in this body are called to some of those fivefold ministry gifts. And some of us are called to operate in some of those gifts of the Spirit. And God doesn't use us all in the exact same way. Within each one of those gifts, there are different degrees and methods of operation. He just doesn't use us the same way. For instance, take the gift, the spiritual gift of tongues and interpretation. Some people operate in tongues or interpretation. Some people operate in both. I've seen couples who flowed in tongues and interpretation together. On a routine, it was like a regular basis. It's like one of them would have the tongue and the other one would have the interpretation. And they were always spot on. And I've even seen people who operated in tongues and interpretation and song. And that's a pretty powerful manifestation of God's of spirit in that. But we have to spend time in the Spirit and seek God's direction that we understand how he wants to use us. You know, talking about the nine gifts and the five gifts, there are so many more things. I don't want to limit us to those. Because there are so many more things that God wants to do in this body by the unction of the Spirit that might not fall into any of those. It might be that he has you to give an encouragement to somebody before the service or after the service. Or he may speak to your heart that somebody's got a need and you don't know why, but you feel led to give them $20. And it might be your last $20. But by listening to the unction of the Holy Spirit, you're following his lead and you're building up the body and you're giving your supply. There are so many, many ways that God wants to use us that I don't know where to even start with them. But it's more than just the 9 spiritual gifts or the 5-fold ministry. So don't think that if you know you don't operate in any of those or you don't fall into the 5-fold ministry, that you don't need to be listening to the Holy Spirit, because that's just not true, because he wants to use each and every one of us in some way. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, "Now we have received," and I didn't give you the scripture, guys, "now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know things that are freely given to us of God." Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. God desires to bring increase. He desires to bring supernatural increase. It's not about the programs that we can put on. It's not about getting to the point where we have a sermon that is fiery, and it's not about having a worship team that always sings on key and has every instrument tuned to perfection. It's about letting the supernatural guidance of the Holy Spirit be in this house. Last week, we all got to experience what our children's ministry is like. And I really loved how the theme is demonstrated in lots of different ways. And it's not only the children who need to have things repeated in lots of different ways. The theme of their service was basically being faithful in the small things so that God can trust us with more. And we saw examples of that. And my favorite one was about the shepherd boy David, who was off tending the sheep when they came to anoint a new king. And he had been faithful with those sheep. And because of his faithfulness, God called him out and anointed him as king. And he was kind of the run of the litter, so to speak. You know, he wasn't the eldest. He wasn't the best looking. He was just the youngest boy who took care of the sheep. But because of his faithfulness to care for the sheep, God anointed him as king. You know, Pastor has really been impressed to focus on children's ministry. And I heard him say last week that in time, the children will be ministering downstairs too. I don't know where this came from. They'll be praying for one another. They'll be laying hands on each other. And I think there's a reason that Glenn has been so almost fixated on this, getting the children's ministry revived and thriving again. And I think it's because it's so easy for God to move supernaturally through children. And sometimes we're a little more hard-headed. But if he can start with them, then there's hope for us. Amen? God wants a supernatural move in this body, and he doesn't just want it in the children's services. Now, I often take notes when pastor's preaching. Nothing too detailed, and a lot of times I can't even read them when I go back weeks later and look at them. But I like to write down just the key points that seem to make an impression on me at the time. And I was going back over some notes that he, some things that he said last month. And he said, heaven wants to invade the earth through his people. Heaven wants to invade the earth through his people. And he also said, We want to deliver the power of the resurrected Christ throughout the world. Are we like-minded? Do we want to deliver the power of the resurrected Christ throughout the world? Throughout our families, throughout our workplace, throughout our community? If I ask you if you wanted to see God move supernaturally through us in our community, touching lives, healing people, breaking the chains of darkness that keep people from living a life for God, most of you would say, yes, I want to see that happen. And then the next thing you're going to say is, but let somebody else do it. Is that true? Okay. But it's not going to happen out there in your workplace, in your families, your extended families especially, in the streets of this community, if it doesn't happen here, inside these walls first. Amen? So we've got to get past our fear and our inhibitions and allow God to manifest his presence and his power among us. And you know, that's a little bit scary. And some of us have seen that before. We've seen God do mighty things. You know, and I don't have this in my notes, but I just feel impressed to say, for some of us, it's been years since we've seen it. It's been years since we experienced that touch of the Holy Ghost. And we need it. And this city needs it. And our families need it. You know, I've never been drunk in the natural before, but I've been drunk in the Holy Ghost, and it's a pretty wonderful feeling, but it's been a long time. It's been a really long time. And, you know, I say this because I think this is where God's wanting to take us. I think he wants to manifest his presence in various ways in this body. And I can tell you, that's going to make some of you really uncomfortable. Really uncomfortable. And we may even lose a few. For various reasons. Maybe you're just totally uncomfortable with it. Maybe you've experienced in the past where somebody didn't handle it right. But it's going to make some people uncomfortable. But we have got to get past ourselves and past each other, so that we can do what God's calling us to do. For those of us who've never experienced anything like that, we're not sure what to expect. But for those of us who have, that's scary too. We may recognize the presence of God. I'd say probably a good portion of us do recognize the presence of God. And we might even acknowledge that he's wanting something specific from us in a service or in a situation, but we're afraid to act on it, even if we have in the past. So why is that? Well, for one, we're not sure how it's going to be received. We're not sure what's acceptable in the body. And we're afraid of rejection. And we're afraid we'll miss it or mess it up. And I can tell you, you will. If you step out in God at all, you will mess it up. But it's okay, because we love you. And I want you to love me when I mess it up. But we will never know unless we step out and respond to the presence and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Part of our fear may come from thinking that we're expected to be just like everybody else, to do things the way somebody else does them. And maybe you've seen somebody do something and you're not comfortable with it. God just wants you to be who you are. Like our worship team. The congregation never knows who's going to be playing or singing from week to week. Sometimes we're doing good to know. And we don't all operate the same way. You know, Mike and I don't lead the same way. We're different. I'm loud. I know that. I'm loud. And I get emotional. And that makes some of you nervous. You're kind of like, wish you'd just rein that in just a little bit. Come on, just. But that's who I am. And so don't expect us all to be the same. But God needs all of us. And he needs the way Mike leads, and the way Rhonda leads, the way Sarah leads, Ashley. And probably some of you out there who don't even know that you're supposed to be doing that. You know, many years ago in this very body, we had a similar situation with the worship team. The worship leader changed week to week. And we had a gal singing who was a lot like me. She was kind of loud and emotional, and she was all over that stage. And she really got into it. She was a great worship leader, but it made people uncomfortable. And one morning, I got a call from a young woman wanting to know who was going to be leading that morning. Because if it was this particular person, then she would just come late. And she did. And they're not here anymore. Because I think there probably were other things that made them uncomfortable. Now, I want to tell you that I know we have some people who come late. And at times, I deal with that. It's like, are they coming because of worship? Are they thinking they're hanging out at home and hoping it'll be over when they get here? Well, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and hope that that's not it. But if it is, then you need to ask God to help us or to replace us or to help you love us, one or the other. And you know, I know sometimes pastor hears complaints about the music or about the worship team, but thank God he does not tell us. He doesn't tell us. We couldn't handle it. And thank you if you have a problem with us for not sharing it on Facebook. Because I got to tell you, a few years ago, someone who, again, is no longer with us, did that, made some comments, and they weren't very specific, but I knew what they meant. And I cried. It broke my heart. I've talked to Pastor Damon about it. It really tore me up. And so you got to love us. We know we're not professionals up here, but we do love God. And I want to tell you one more thing about the worship team before I move on. We are working to get to a place where we can flow together and where we hear God and are in unity so that we can be able to execute his plan for every service, because he does have a plan for every service. We are a big old work in progress, as you can obviously see, but that's our goal, is to come into unity where we can flow and allow the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do in a service. Now, like I already said, we're all very different. And every one of us is influenced by our past experiences, whether good or bad, both in the natural and in the spiritual realm, and also by our personalities. And I have a little leadership class that we do at the chamber every year. And the very first thing we do with that group, and it's usually about a dozen people, the very first thing we do is a personality test that helps us see who our introverts are and our extroverts and what our strengths and weaknesses are. But it allows them to know how to work together better. And, you know, it was a real eye-opener for me to realize that not everybody was just like me. There were things I just did not understand. You know, I'm a very much fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants, last-minute kind of girl. And I learned that, you know, when you have a meeting and you're inviting people to that meeting, there are people who want to see that agenda 2 weeks in advance. That wasn't happening for me. And I was totally clueless. I had no idea that there are people who their personality, that was what they needed. So I say that just to say we're all different and we're all learning. A while back, I had an experience, and I really felt like God kind of quickened me to share this with you, and I've asked my daughter's permission to share this. But I had to relay some information to all the girls about a family member who had received a diagnosis of cancer. And, you know, all three of them had relatively the same relationship with this person. But I had three different phone calls and had three totally different responses. You know, one of them, we had a lengthy discussion about all the medical side of that diagnosis and the treatment and all those things. And that was a fairly long conversation. And I had another one who was very matter of fact, who understood, and it was a very short conversation. And then I had another one who was a lot like her mama, and she had a very emotional response, and we both cried. But God uses all of us, despite ourselves and in all of our ways, he uses us. We experienced some differences here when we transitioned from Damon's leadership back to Glenn's. You know, I'll never forget when Glenn left the first time and Damon took over. Oh my gosh. You know, we were just all so used to following Glenn and how he did things. I just didn't think it, I didn't know how it was going to work. I just could not believe that Glenn had, well, he just kind of abandoned us. And I'll be honest, I'm being honest here. I just kind of felt like he'd kind of left us hanging out to dry. I didn't know how this was going to work with this guy. And you know, in time we came to love Damon and appreciate him. And probably for the last 2 years at least, there was not a Sunday that went by when what he preached didn't reflect on conversations we'd had at home earlier in the week. And that was very consistent. But it's a difference in personality. And now here we are transitioning back to Glenn again. Missing Damon, but transitioning back to Glenn. And in time, we'll make that adjustment and it'll be like it was never gone. But it's a difference in personalities. Many of us in this body are eager to hear from God and to move toward the supernatural. And we are learning to listen to our spirits, and we're ready to obey. And we must remember to give each other grace. In the third verse of Ephesians 4, which I didn't put up for you, the King James Version uses the word endeavoring, and it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That word endeavoring means work. It means we're going to have to work on it. If we want to keep unity in the body because of the changes, we're going to have to work on it. So let me kind of wrap things up a little bit here, and I bet those kids downstairs are going to be disappointed because this is really short. They're not going to get to be down there too long. Each of us has gifts to supply, and another meaning of that word supply is nourishment. You have nourishment for this body in your supply, and we need it. And those are essential to this body if we are to grow. So how did we get here? Where every one of us is fulfilling our supply. How do we get here? Well, I told you about this sermon I had listened to, and there was something this young man said that just really hit me. He said, time. We have to give God time. We all know that. And probably if we're going to give him time, that means we have to give less time to something else. And that could be anything. That could be less time to your hobbies, less time to your job, less time to family, less time to your television or your computer or Facebook. But the thing that he said that really got me was the mere passing of time does nothing to propel you forward in the things of God. The mere passing of time does nothing to propel you forward in the things of God. And I can tell you that's true. Because for some of us, we can look back and say, oh my, 20 years have passed. Am I any further along in God's plan for my life than I was 20 years ago? Or 5 years ago? Or last week? I'll tell you a real shock that I had last week. That I realized I'm 57 years old. Oh, thank you, Leroyce, for sounding so shocked. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. I am 57 years old, and next May, I'll be a born-again believer for 50 years. That's a long time. Now, do I think that there probably are things I should have been doing long before now to propel myself forward in the kingdom of God? You better believe it. And I can tell you it's been more than 35 years since I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. That's a lot of time, folks. But the mere passing of time does nothing to propel us forward in the things of God. So what are we going to do? We've got to pray, and you've got to pray in English, and you've got to pray in the Spirit. You got to have both. Because when you're praying in the Spirit, you're speaking mysteries unto God. And I believe he wants us to pray forth some of those plans that he has for us in the Spirit. Amen. We need to ask him for guidance, because he wants to give it to us. We need to listen both with our natural ears and with our spiritual ears. We need to look, see with our natural eyes, and see with our spiritual eyes as well. And we need to respond or move to what we feel the Holy Spirit is asking us to do, no matter how small, no matter how strange. And we have to give each other grace as we're learning. We have to thank God for what he's doing and for where he's taken us. And we have to prepare for increase. If we're believing God for increase, we have to prepare for that. Like Glenn said last week, you know, we want those kids to come in. We want those people who need Jesus to come in, but we got to be ready to take care of them when they get here. So we've got to increase in ourselves. And I know that there are people in this body who are holding back because we talk about it. Because they're unsure. And I know because we've talked about things that you thought maybe you had in a service, but you didn't act on it. And I know that God is talking to many of us, even about things that seem like an impossibility. Things that are like, well, that's the most far-fetched thing. Why would he be talking to me about that? I had that conversation with somebody recently. Maybe he wants you to act on it. I know that there are words of encouragement for this body. I know there are exhortations. There are words of knowledge. There are songs from the Spirit. And many more things just waiting to be released. And I want to encourage you today to step out in the things of God, to move in the Spirit, do your part to fulfill your supply of the Spirit, so that we can grow. And if you're worried that things will get out of control, you know, because sometimes that can happen, you can trust your pastor to rein us back in. And I'm pretty sure I can hear him say, oh my. But he'll rein us back in if we get out there. I just want to give you opportunity right now to just bow your heads and just talk quietly to God for a minute to see if there's something he's been talking to you about. Just acknowledge. Just talk to him. Acknowledge his presence in your life. Acknowledge those things that he's been saying to you and encouraging you to do. Just hear him. And then if you're serious about providing your supply of the Spirit in this body, then tell him that next time, God, I'll act on it. Next time, I'll act on it. And I don't want to miss this, but if there's somebody right now that has something they're supposed to give, then act on it. All right, then we will just... I need you to stand up in the fire. Hallelujah. Forsake you. I'm right where you are. Right where you are. Hallelujah.
Your word and lives will be changed.
Yes.